Good evening. Good to see all of you here this evening. Charity had a note on her cell phone from Blake. He converted a girl that's in his class at school and baptized. There, she's baptized today, I think. So that's a great thing to hear, for sure. And we have a visitor with us this evening named Nancy sitting on the back afterwards. If you get a chance, don't want to embarrass her, but afterwards, if you get a chance, you should get to know her. She's a real nice lady that we've visited with a little bit before. So, in keeping with what I said this morning, I have a short sermon. My wife is thinking 42 minutes. No. Here goes. What kind of things shape your attitude? What kind of things affect your attitude? When you're angry, does that help your attitude? When you're sad, does that affect your attitude? When you're in a car wreck, does that affect your attitude? I'll tell you the strangest thing, and I hope that I'm not the only one that does this, or I'm going to be feeling all alone. Sometimes, and boy, I just hate to admit this, sometimes I'll have a dream that Charity did something to me she wasn't supposed to do, and I wake up mad. Okay, at least there's at least a few things. Now, having said that, our attitudes, our Christian attitudes, are really important. Attitudes play an important part in our Christianity, and we should consider carefully how to shape them. Now, I have to tell you, I know more about how not to shape them just from my own reasoning than I do anything else. But we're going to look at some scripture here in a minute that's going to help us in the other way. I can tell you how not to do it, you know. Us guys, I've learned this. Men have got this little thing. We get frustrated, and when we get frustrated, we act dumb. It's dumb, right? We don't act very smart when we get frustrated. That pushes our buttons, you know. And sometimes when I get frustrated, I just lose all sense of what's going on around. Any of you guys do that, or is that just me? Sam at least does it too. Good. Thank you, brother. Okay. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Because what, you know, and it kind of started this morning. I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, if there's any way that I have hopes of getting my attitude where God wants it to be, I'm going to have to become like Jesus. And you know, I was just so excited this morning because this morning, in case you didn't catch the gist of it, everything we're doing about Jesus. We're singing about Jesus. We're having the Lord's Supper about Jesus. We're preaching about Jesus. You know what, church? How many people in here want to be like Jesus? Let me tell you what, that's what we need to be striving for. Because when we're trying to be like ourselves, we're trying to figure it out our own way. Frustration sets in. Heartache sets in. Sometimes, you know, the things that are happening around us drag us down. But when we're in Jesus, those things are controlled. They're stopped. So I thought about that, especially Brother Engel mentioned the passage from Colossians, talking about all the things that Jesus... He's doing a good job. He ain't bothering us, is he? You know what? Kids are great. I love them. Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is the exact image of God. You read there in Colossians about how the fact that everything that was made for him and through him and on his behalf and that all things hold together in Jesus, isn't that good stuff? That's who Jesus is. Now, if Jesus was all that, everything bowed to who Jesus was. And in the future, every knee will bow. Jesus is the head of the church, right? All of these things. But let's see about the attitude that Jesus took on for himself in Philippians chapter 2. We'll start in verses 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Jesus embraced a lifestyle of submission. Now, are we clear about who Jesus is? He is the Son of God. Yet he took upon himself to live a life of submission to the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3 says that he submitted to God. He did not consider equality with God a thing to go after. Jesus was not about position. He was not about power. He was, in fact, God, wasn't he? But he relinquished that. Jesus embraced submission. You know what, church? I think that when we are willing to shape our own attitudes with submission, God will offer us a lot of opportunities to do his work. When we are willing to take on submission in our lives, and obviously I'm not talking about, a lot of times submission gets brought up in the woman's role, but I'm not talking about the woman's role. I'm talking about the Christian role. We are to be a people of submission. We're supposed to submit to each other, and we're supposed to submit to God. You know what? Sometimes Christians don't want to submit to God. They think God is like bishops. I'll take me a little of this, but I don't like that. I'll have a little of this, but I sure don't like that. Have me a little of this. You know what I'm talking about? A Christ-like attitude is an attitude of surrender. Surrendering to our wills and praying that for God's will, just as Jesus prayed. The second thing is verse 7. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Jesus gave up his own needs. And in fact, the words that we read this morning, I think during the Lord's Supper, we read Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 in verse, what verse is that? I wrote down verse 12. Talking about Jesus said that he poured forth himself unto death. You talk about an attitude that gives up what we need for other people. An attitude that looks to what other people need regardless of what we need. In other words, an attitude that says, you know what, I'm going to put other people first, and that's the lead-in to what we're talking about here in Philippians chapter 2. An attitude of Jesus that says, you know what, I'll stand in your place. I'll take your penalty. I'll make a sacrifice on your behalf. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How many times do you see someone willing to stand up and sacrifice themselves for someone else? Verses 3 through 4 in the earlier part of this text says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. When our attitude when we let this type of thinking shape our attitude, just think what God can do. Just think who God can reach. Because, you know, I look back at times in my own past when somebody stepped in and bailed me out when I probably wasn't bailout worthy. You know what I'm saying? And I think about the impact that that made on my life. Jesus was willing to pour forth Himself unto death. He was willing to empty Himself. And I thought to myself, you know, I hope that we are an empty church. Not in the physical sense, but I hope that we're not full of ourselves. How's that? You know what? Sometimes we can get full of ourselves because, you know what? I'll just be frank with you. I like myself. And I tend to really like myself when I'm getting my way. That's when I feel good. You know, don't we get that away? Can that drag us down in our Christian proposition and our Christian purpose and responsibility? It sure can. But the attitude of Christ is one that's willing to put our needs to aside to help somebody else. Verse 7 there at the end says, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men. You know, an attitude of Jesus that really shaped and pointed to His character was the fact that He was a servant. That He didn't come to be served, but to serve, Matthew 20 and verse 28. And I think of that no better place than John chapter 13. And we've said this, lots of times. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Now, you know, I just have to be honest with you. I love y'all a bunch. I don't want to touch your feet. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And that, Dolores, you don't want me to touch your feet? Good, I don't want to. Jesus was a guy that says, you know what? I'm going to get down and I'm going to touch your feet if they need touched. I'm going to come over and I'm going to help you shovel your sidewalk if it needs shoveled. I'm going to go pick up some people for church if they need picked up. I'm not going to sit back and, with a list of things and say, has my need been met by the church? Is this guy doing this right? Is this no? I'm going to say, you know what? What can I do? You know what? When you're saying, what can I do? You know what you're not doing? What am I not getting? Why is it not going my way? Me, I. Are you with me? That was really hard to say, by the way. Jesus had this attitude that He was going to serve people. You know what? This church does a lot of service things. And that's really good. God calls us to be servants. I have to tell you this. Being a servant's not always pleasant, though. Because service opportunities always come at an inconvenient time. You're laughing, brother. Do you know something about this? It's just the way it happens. I think God lets it happen that way to help shape our hearts. Is that right? So that we don't get all fussy about it. Do you like to serve, church? I hope you do. Because that helps shape your attitude to be like Jesus. Jesus was out there, had no place to sleep. Nowhere to put His head but a rock. Now that's where we draw the line. At least I'm going to be home sleeping in my own bed tonight. I have the right to do that. You know what we feel. Well, Jesus is out there sleeping under a fig tree. What will we do? Let me ask you this. What is the boundaries for your service? They have boundaries, don't they? We set up boundaries. What happens when you let those boundaries down? Oh, God really gives you opportunities you never dreamed of, right? And God works some amazing things through us when our attitudes are shaped by being people of service. Verse 8 at the beginning says that Jesus, being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself. Matthew 11 verse 29 talks about how the Lord is gentle and humble in heart. when we have a humble attitude, a humble attitude always does one thing. A humble attitude never points a finger at somebody else. Because a humble attitude understands that our place, that we're not all that. And you know what? Sometimes we like to figure out who's right and wrong. We like to figure out where people ought to be stepping up to the plate. We're really good at seeing other people, but we don't like to look in the mirror. Especially after the holidays, right? After the holidays? Nobody's going to touch that one, right? We don't like to look in the mirror toward ourselves. Jesus says that we should humble ourselves. James chapter 1 and verse 9 talks about how the humble person should glory in his high position. Being humble is a great thing. And God says it that way. James 4 and verse 6 says that God's opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. God wants us to be a people with soft hearts. Soft hearts where we look out across humanity and we see what God sees. Where we feel the way God feels. When we let our prejudices fall to the side. Where we stop looking at people and saying, they need to do this and they need to do that, and start saying, what can I do to be a better Christian? Church, you know what? If we have any hope of being what God wants us to be, if we have any hope of being transformed in His image, we're going to have to consider humility of spirit through Christ. And the last thing here in verse 8. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Having our minds shaped in a Christ with a Christ-like attitude means being obedient. Jesus? He was obedient? Yeah. He did what the Father expected Him to do. And you know what? Sometimes we like to bend the rules to fit our scenario. You know, I've done it, so I know all about it. The Lord doesn't really care if I wear my seatbelt or not. What difference does that make in regards to spirituality? You've been there. You've reasoned out all your little things, you know. What's your sin? How do you try to justify things? The truth is that obedience shapes our attitude, because if you have the attitude, I'm going to just obey you, God, no matter what it costs me. Folks, that helps shape your heart. Then you're not willing to compromise any of your values. Then you're not willing to compromise who you are as a Christian. You can't be a Christian successfully being what God wants you to be, trying to have garbage in your life. But you know, sometimes we just say, I'm doing all I can do. I can't do anymore. God's just going to have to take me. We think just as I am, like God's going to have to accept us where we're at. Not that I'm against the song. I love the song. But you know what? God doesn't have to take us as we are. We need to step up to the plate and become what He wants us to be, right? And we do that by trying to be like our Lord. You know what? I'm in love with Jesus. And I hope that you are too. You know, I think about seeing Jesus someday. I plan on trying my best to be faithful unto death so I can receive a crown of righteousness, Revelation 2:10. and I want to see Him. I want to meet Him at the gate and say, thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for helping me understand how to shape my thinking. Because when I look back through my life, when I try to shape my own thinking, it's an ugly mess. I don't have the keys to understanding. I don't have the keys to feelings. At different times in my life, when I didn't have the Lord, when I wasn't working hard on my Christianity, I would be blown by every wind of emotion. I would be lifted high only to be dragged down. But when I try to be like Christ, then I have an anchor that keeps my soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. This week, we're going to have some holiday time. A lot of people are going to be with their families. It's going to be Christmas coming up. And if you celebrate that or if you don't, I just ask you to think about something this week. How can I move my attitude around to be more like Jesus? Because that's going to give Him glory in the end. Tonight, if you have a need, if there's anything that we can pray for you about or help you with in any way, we'd ask you to come as we stand and sing.